Welcome to Got Invention Radio with your host, Brian Free.
Welcome back to Got Invention Radio. We have John Calvert, the administrator of the Inventor Assistance Program of the USPTO. He's with us tonight. And before we get started with John, I just want to mention that if you haven't already done so, you definitely need to subscribe to Inventor's Digest magazine. You can visit them at www.inventorsdigest.com. If you sign up for their magazine and you mention Got Invention Radio, you get 30% off the cover price. So good luck. You need it. It's got great resources on there. Always take a look at inventorsdigest.com. There's always updated information on there. And I know USPTO is pretty active on that website also, right?
We are. I really like Inventor's Digest. I've been following it for many years, and it's really turned the corner the last few years and has great information.
And it's constantly updated online, and I look forward to my magazine coming to the mailbox every month.
That's good.
Definitely take advantage, Inventors. All right, John, let's get to it. I know there's questions coming in here in my email, very interesting questions, and I'm going to ask you as we're going along because I know that one of the first questions, you know, I'm going to ask you is what's the difference between provisional applications and non-provisional applications and design patents and patent searches and all? Should I keep going?
I can understand what you're asking here.
You know what? Let's start off. Maybe you can help us out. I'm an inventor. I'm coming to you. I have this great idea. What would you tell us, John?
Well, the first thing to do is make sure you have that information pretty secured, collect it in a notebook. I mean, this should be a bound together, sewn notebook, not a loose leaf notebook, not a three ring binder, anything like that. It really needs that, and you need that for protection, especially in today's legal system, because you have to remember we are still a first to invent country. So that gives you a little bit of a benefit if you ever have to go to court.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two is, if you don't have a lot of money, you should file or think about filing a provisional application. Now, the provisional application basically gives you a one-year time frame to market your invention, perfect your invention, see what other people might think of it, you know, might be able to find investors, whatever. I suggest, in most every instance, to find some patent professional assistance, whether it's a patent attorney, a patent agent, or you might even find some law clinic that might help you out putting these together, a provisional application. Remember, it's a legal document, and it really needs some professional assistance.
Okay. That's very good information. So a provisional patent, when I hear about a provisional patent, and this is what I've done, and I just like to compare them, John. When I go through, I make sure I do a little bit of my own search. I do a professional patent search, and then when I file a provisional, I'm always nervous because I look at the patents and it looks like an art that somebody spent a lot of time understanding, and I feel like if I put in a provisional patent and I don't do it the right way, that it's going to hurt me if I'm going to continue to move forward. I mean, I am looking at this as a business, and I want to make sure that each step of the way I have covered. What's your take on that? I mean, is it something that I could just put in to put a filing, or do I need to have specifics in there that I should get legal advice?
I really suggest, as I said before, that you get some legal assistance. Provisional applications give you the one-year time frame in which to file. But you got to remember, it still has to meet the standards of a non-provisional application or a regular patent application.
Okay.
So if you have something that's just a picture, just a few words, it really is not going to give you the coverage that you need in order to rely back on that date.
Okay.
So you really need to have some pretty strong language in your provisional application in order to get the best protection you can get.
So we can do it ourselves.
You can do it yourselves, yes. There's nothing in the rules or the law that requires an attorney or an agent to assist you. However, I have found that in most instances it's best to at least discuss your application with someone having either a patent attorney, or a patent agent.
Okay.
Someone that has knowledge in the patent field.
But if I did want to do it myself, John, where would I go to find out how to or what kind of criteria is needed in that provisional?
Well, I think the first place to go is what you said, doing your own search. Go into the USPTO website and search some area that you're, or the same area that your invention is going to be in, and see what is in a provisional application. And you can pull those up. Anything that's been in the office, not provisional, but anything that's been published, is you can use as a basis for what you want to file.
Okay.
You won't find provisionals there, but you'll find non-provisional applications that have been published at the end of 18 months. Those are a very good example to use. There are a number of books. I can't recommend any of them, but there are a number of books out there that can assist you in writing patent applications.
It's, again, it feels like it's something that I would really need to spend. I guess it's how much time you have, and it's something that you want to become an expert in. I mean, I like to pay an expert. When I go to the doctor, I want to make sure that I go to a specialist.
That's exactly right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So I just, it's important to me. But there's other people out there that do choose to do it themselves, and it's great to know that the USPTO has a program to help and understand what's required. And, you know, on your website, I clicked on patents, and I clicked on patent process, and that's a great map. That is a really great map. And it's not only a map. It also has hyperlinks in there to take me to more information on the different steps along the way.
Absolutely. It tells you everything that really happens within the patent office. It's an extremely good understanding of the intricacies that happen in the USPTO.
You know what the best part is, John?
What's that?
Number 13. To the right of 13, where you actually see the patent granted. I love that.
Yes.
So definitely, listeners, take a look when you have a chance. Go to the USPTO.gov website and click on patents. Actually, click on all the different links on there. There's great information. And I know that the last couple of years, the office has really made it very, very user-friendly and made it especially inventor-friendly and all the different things that you're doing, especially your department, having an inventor assistance program.
That, well, we've been involved with inventors for many, many, many years, but in the late 1990s, we really took a step forward and had the Office of Independent Inventor Programs, and then we expanded that in around 2002 to become the Inventors Assistance Program. And we're doing a lot more things with our program than we've ever done before.
Oh, that's great. Well, let's get to the real meat of
okay.
of patents, because that's what we want to know about. And so you touched on a bit of the provisional. What's a non-provisional? And I know that the other word for non-provisional is utility.
That's correct.
Okay.
And well, a regular patent application is a non-provisional application. It's what the examiners read, what they examine and define or determine whether it is patentable or not.
And what makes it patentable or not?
It has to meet certain standards within the law. Title 35 of the United States Code, which is a law that is passed by Congress, signed by the President, defines those particular statutes that say, yes, this is new, this is non-obvious, this is understandable and meets certain criteria. And that's what we look at.
So it's novel, right? I guess there's,
yeah.
there's kind of a definition to it, but a lot of people say, what is a patent? So, you know, I know you read what it is overall, but what is it in our terms? So
it's a grant from the United States that allows an inventor to have a limited monopoly on the invention that he or she claims is that invention.
Okay. That sounds good.
And basically what that grant allows is the exclusive use or the exclusive rights to that invention. That means that you have the right to exclude others from making, using, selling, offering for sale, or importing the invention into the U.S.
That's great information.
Yeah, and the U.S. patent is only good in the U.S. and its territories.
Okay. So that's a patent, otherwise known as a non-provisional patent. I guess it's all the different patents.
It's just a patent. That's basically what happens in all patent grants.
Okay. So can you give us a little bit more information about non-provisional?
Yeah, non-provisionals are, or we call those utility, right. as you mentioned. A utility application basically could be anything that has chemistry, mechanical engineering, electrical engineering involved in it. It's processes, machines, articles of manufactures, compositions of matter, or improvements on those. Anything in that area is considered a utility application. And we have roughly 6,000 examiners that have a special area that they examine in. And each one of those examiners gets applications in, and they go through them and analyze them to the technology in the application versus the law. So it's a legal determination using the technology that's available.
You mentioned different industries. Even Priceline.com is patented, right? What is that's a process, I guess.
Yeah, that's an electronic method of business.
Okay. Electronic method of business.
Right.
Very interesting. We have about a minute or so left, John. It's really interesting to know that USPTO.gov has all this information available to us. And really, listeners out there, you need to take advantage of it. John, what's the phone number and email address, or how do we get in touch with you? How can you help us?
You can the 1-800 number is 1-800-PTO-9199. That will get you the general information line, and they will, you know, send your information or get you to the proper person. If you want help directly from my area, it's independentinventor@USPTO.gov.
That's super. That's great information. We'll be back with segment three with John Calvert, the administrator of the Inventor Assistance Program of the USPTO. My name is Brian Freed, and you're listening to Got Invention Radio on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. We'll be back in a few moments.
Voodoo Lounge.
Come see Vegas from our point of view.
Ride the glass elevators 51 stories above the strip to the peak of the Rio All-Suite Hotel and Casino.
Find yourself in a spell as we take you inside the Voodoo Lounge.
World champion bartenders flare up your favorite potion.
Perhaps our signature smoking witch doctor will be perfect to accompany you outside to the most incredible, breathtaking view of Vegas.
Gorgeous voodoo dolls dance in their cages to help you get your groove on while you make your way down the winding stairway to the VIP couches.
Listen, dance, chill, and groove to the hottest DJs spinning the top 40, old-school, hip-hop mashup, and house for your one-of-a-kind local experience.
For VIP reservations, call 777-6875. 777-6875.
Open nightly, and local ladies are always free. Voodoo Lounge,
only at the Rio All Suites Hotel and Casino.
The bottom line is social media can add to your bottom line. This is Angie Swartz, host of Twitter Talk Radio. To learn how social media can work for you, log on to freesocialmedianewsletter.com. Receive regular, short, helpful tips that will show you how social media can take your company to the next level. It is absolutely free and worth every penny. That is freesocialmedianewsletter.com. freesocialmedianewsletter.com.
Hey, this is Brandy Blanton, publisher of Southern Exposure Magazine. As a business owner, I'm always looking for ways to cut costs. And there's one expense that can almost always be reduced, your cell phone bill. How much are you paying for employee cell phones and service? Most companies are spending 10 to 60% more than they should be. Call NationLink Wireless to find out if your business is one of them. Ask NationLink for an audit of your cell phone expenses. Their experts are up to date on all wireless offerings and rate plans. And they'll do three things for you. One, they'll review each line item on your monthly bill. Two, they'll identify any unnecessary spending. And three, they'll report back to you with the best carrier and rate plan based on your current usage. A typical savings around 27%. There's really no downside. If they don't save you money, it's free. If they do, their fee is based on your savings. Call NationLink now at 567-2222 to schedule your bill audit. That's 567-2222. NationLink Wireless, making wireless easy.
Do you have an idea or an invention and not sure what to do next? Take the first step and get your copy of the book, You and Your Big Ideas by Brian Freed. From protecting your idea to developing it and bringing your product to market, this handy resource guide is a must-have for every inventor, innovator, and entrepreneur. This book is all about you and your big ideas and bringing them to life. Only $10.95. Order now and also receive your free product evaluation kit with the book. Call now.